Deborah, with her 30 years of being an entrepreneur and creating over 7 companies, knows exactly what it means to accept the mission. When you make that decision, when you accept the mission to become a solopreneur, to take yourself and your talents to market, then you embrace a life of not only unlimited possibilities, but also the unknown. It's an elixir of fear and bravery that only someone who's taken the leap really understands. On our show, Deb digs deep with her guest to highlight what you, the listener, wants to know. The stories, the whys, and the hows to navigate the journey to success. Get ready to hear from some of the most incredible mission takers from Generation Z to Boomers. So sit up, perk up, and get ready to be blown away. Now here is your host, Deborah Drummond.
Hello and welcome back to Mission Accepted Podcast. You know why you're here. You know why you're here because you love and enjoy listening to people talk about their crazy story of how they decided to take the mission. You yourself might be on a mission or you're thinking about doing it and you're like, that's going to make me jump in. That sounds like a lot of fun. But the cool thing about people that take on the mission is they continue to take on the mission. And as they stay dedicated to their passion, it might turn, it might change, twist. All of a sudden, one book changes their life, one handshake changes their life. I always say, for us, it's like the 1,000 handshakes to that one handshake. It's like, Carrie, how did you get it? How did you get to have a radio show that has that kind of exposure? You're like, oh, the second day of business. No, it was, you know, I'm sure there's a bit of a process that we want to hear about today. So no matter what business you're in or what project you're in, profit, nonprofit, and maybe you're just here to have some fun and listen to some really cool people that are doing some cool things, because there's nothing wrong with that either. So welcome to the show. Thank you for being incredible listeners and viewers. You are very active. I talk to other people in the podcast world and they're like, I don't have my guests that reach out to me, or not guests, but listeners that reach out. And we know just from our analytics all around the world where you're sharing it. So we so appreciate that. All right. You are going to be, let's see, I always give you little names, right? So today you are a creative audience today. You are going to walk away from this interview that I have with the Carrie Hansen, the founder and director from Underground Radio. Doesn't that sound enticing? Ooh, I want to be on an underground radio. You're going to walk away very creative. So Carrie, welcome to Mission Accepted.
Thank you so much, Deb, for having me today. I'm so excited to share all of my golden nuggets with our audience, maybe dig into a little bit of information, give them some knowledge behind the scenes. Who knows?
Yeah. Hey, it's the best. Oh, I know. My audience is behind the scenes today. You get to see behind the scenes, because in the world of media, right? Let's talk about it. You're in media, I'm in media. Yep. When you're in media, you see in front of the curtain. And what we both know, so me and Carrie play together in many behind the curtains, in the 262 book and the summits. I've been on her radio show. Ocean's been on her radio show. And we talk media and we talk exposure all the time. And one of the things that people aren't supposed to see is what happens behind the curtain, right? That's why it's called behind the curtain. But there's all sorts of things that make the front of the curtain, the stage go well, the show go well, the piece of media when people come on for exposure, what makes the numbers go higher. And that's why there's people that are experts in what they do behind the scene and how you collaborate that. So, you know, media can be so many different mediums. And I just announced you from Underground Radio. That's obviously your main form of play. What made you decide to pick radio? How did that happen for you in your life?
How did that happen? Well, actually, it was a really interesting story, because my main job was just cleaning. You know, I was doing a day job cleaning away and my hours were getting cut back. So I actually applied to another radio station, just like, it was just a fun job. So Masterclass Radio is like a college station based out of Calgary, Alberta. And I, you know, was going there doing some hosting, interviewing people kind of on the weekends. I loved it, just loved it. Loved it so much that I had so many ideas to bring to the owner. And unfortunately, the owner was going under Bell Media. So sometimes when you're under the broadcast spectrum of being under an umbrella that's higher up, you're only allowed to do certain things within that spectrum. So I'm a very creative person. I love thinking outside of the box. I have so many ideas. And as I brought them to him, he's like, well, kind of shut me down and no, we can't do this, can't do that. And so some people were like, you know, why don't you just start your own podcast, you know, do your own thing. And I was, you know, thinking about it. And then, yeah, after probably about 9 months or so, then the ideas kind of came into place. And then it was born basically in 2019 of December. And then we had Radio C, but there was too many Radio C's. And then we had to rebrand it. So it became Underground Radio C. And in that in itself was pretty much, you know, all things underground, underground businesses, underground musicians, underground events, things like that, that aren't in the mainstream media. So that's one of the greatest ideas I think ever out there.
So it's interesting. So you went to volunteer and you just fell in love with what they did at this station. And you were, that's, I mean, you know, that's so interesting. And then a lot of times when people get shut down, they shut down. But you didn't shut down. You had a great understanding that it wasn't about you. They weren't picking on you. They were within confines and they couldn't make the decisions. And so, and I love that when people start feeding back. I was just talking to a woman who everyone in her life was telling her she should be a counselor when she was younger. And so, you know, sometimes it's obvious to other people, right? And she's been an incredible counselor for decades, but, and then to have the gumption. And did you say it was 9 months that you...
It was about 9 months. And actually it was a paid position. It actually wasn't volunteer. So, okay. But it was just very part-time, only a couple hours on the weekend. And I just wanted more because that's what I craved and was more. And I just couldn't get that out of it. So yeah, okay. It was just about 9 months, you know, it was kind of almost like the birth of a child in a way. So it's kind of cool.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. So you're in radio and I know me and you have had lots of off-show conversations because we chat and we talk. And one of the things when I was on your show, it was, it's not surprising to me because I'm in media, but I think it's surprising to people to hear that radio still has the number of impact because unless you're really active in radio or listening to streaming radio or all of that, sometimes people don't realize that it still has an impact. I think they think sometimes that podcasts and, you know, streaming TV have overshadowed radio, but that's not really true. That's not really true. Being on your, yeah. I mean, and the one thing I absolutely love about your show is it's live. Like you are there and it is streaming live. So tell us some of the great stuff why someone should consider radio in terms of their exposure model.
Okay. Well, I didn't really have to dig too deep into this, but I was like, you know, the greatest thing about radio nowadays, because we do have the streaming services, is that you can combine these. So Deb's platform and my platform, you know, we can go live on all those platforms during a radio show, which is great because a radio show is streamed through a local radio station here in Alberta. So it's Jess FM. So it's not my platform, but it's actually a friend of a friend's platform. And we got introduced and he's like, hey, you know, Jesse was the owner. He's come on, let's do some shows. And so he takes that streaming link and he streams it out pretty much all over the world. So we have that benefit of using his radio station to be able to take all these streaming links and go out. And we're talking LinkedIn, Roku. We're through the NCG television network in Italy, like across the world, which is super cool. Deb can tap in. I can tap in. We can go through Facebook, Instagram, like you name it. So back in the day of mainstream radio, there wasn't, you know, the reach that we have today with all the streaming platforms. So within an hour, you know, we can reach, you know, over 100,000 people, like just like that. And then back in the day, you know, it was just like the small town, 100 people. And, you know, so it's come a long way in, you know, 500 years, I would say for sure. But I love that. And I just love that it's instant, it's now. And the live makes it so fun because you can go back and edit and take out the bloopers. I just love the bloopers and I just love being authentic and it's raw and it's just so fun. Just love it.
Well, that's one of the things that we have in common is that on our show, even here on the show, we don't edit. Bloopers are great. I think some of the best gem drops that happens is when people go off. You can see like they've just gone off what it is they were going to say or how they were going to say it. And you get this incredible. It used to be like that when I used to go listen to my teacher, right? So when I was studying Ayurveda and health, and she'd go off in these really beautiful stories, and in there was just wealth of knowledge. And I love the fact that, like I said, that it's live and you can serve. And the cool thing is that just opening people's ideas up to what they can do, you know, what they can do in terms of being tapped into someone who has a radio show. So you can have a show that's streaming on someone else's network. You don't have to own the whole party or play the whole party. You can take your creative piece and take it there. Just like, so now you've got the 100,000 audience and, you know, instead of me doing 100,000 Facebook lives or 20,000 Facebook lives, or, you know what I mean? How many people you have on your live, you're able to go in and tap on something live. And the nice thing about live is I really feel like it has its own sense of dedication. Like people that are attached to your show, they know to dial in, right? Because it's live. It's live. And there is a certain, it's like going to the concert versus listening to the album or, you know, streaming, you know, your favorite band, and you go and you see it live. It's such a different vibe, hey?
It's so different. And just not only that, but, you know, some people were kind of like, well, what's the difference? Podcast, radio. A lot of podcasts are pretty much the same topic over and over again. You know, they have a certain thing that they like to talk about. Well, for my shows, you know, one thing I love about it, and I think why people tune in, is because there's always a different guest every single week. And even if it's a returning guest, chances are the topics aren't necessarily the same. So we can go off topic. And then a lot of times we'll start, you know, the show going into, say, their book, or they want to talk about their album, or they want to talk about whatever it is that they actually wanted to come on. And the whole table's turned by the end of the show, and it ends up being, you know, something going on in the world, or it could just be one of their favorite charities, or like bloopers happen and we just laugh and it's just, you know, whatever, or they just want to talk about something that's deep in their heart and it comes out. Perhaps it's just how they even got into the industry that they're in or how they switched industries. It's really cool. And it's just, like I said, it's fun, authentic, and it's, you never know. So I think that brings the audience in going, okay, who's going to be this week? They get the tidbit of, you know, who's going to be on through the posters, right?
Yeah.
But, and, you know, I don't like to share too much on a bio posting it because I don't like to give away the whole show. I mean, that's defeats the purpose. But but it's fun. Like, you just never know. You're like, okay, this might be a person that they've always wanted to see live. And they get to see really who that person is instead of, you know, like you said, it could be, you know, you're seeing your favorite, you know, person live and in concert, and versus hearing their music over the radio, you see the difference.
Yeah.
But then this is talking to that person, you know, why they created the music, or, you know, just the in-depth stuff, which is, you can't beat that, really.
Yeah. It's rich. It's rich. It allows you, again, kind of like that backstage pass.
Yeah.
So look, for people that are using, you know, a lot of times people use our medium and your medium as well to get out their message about their business or their project or nonprofit or album or what you were talking about there. Those people that are looking at doing radio or have done radio, how can they maximize their results? Like, what can they do pre or post, or how can they really maximize results to get a super high exposure rate from doing a show?
Right. So I talked about, you know, how we do some posting before the shows. So it's good that, you know, whoever's interviewing you gets some information prior to the show. I myself like to get a bio, pictures. It's like an EPK, basically an electronic press kit, if you will. So it gets all the information of the person. I like to make a little post about who they are, generally share it, you know, within a few days of the show. I do suggest that we'll maximize some numbers is that the guests themselves share that post out. They can even do it beforehand. You know, they could do their own little reel, a little live saying, hey, I'm going to be on Deb's show within a week, or I'm going to be on Carrie's show in a week. You guys tune in, get your audience engaged, share that out. When the shows pop up, you know, be active, you know, right before, be like, yeah, I'm going to be on this evening. Tune in, share on stories, share reels, share posts. And I'm talking all single platforms, as many as you can. You know, if you're on LinkedIn, you know, all the socials, basically,
yeah.
You know, there's so many. Alignable, there's, you know, Instagram, there's Facebook, and people have personal Facebook and their business Facebooks. Do them all. And during the show, if you can, or just prior to, share the show pages out to, or like the links to tune in to your friends, family, those who are interested, your fans, get them all in there. They can comment during the show. Just like have fun with it, because that's what it's all about. Then after, take those links and again, share them out as much as you can. Create reels with them. Tag everyone. I must say, tag everyone, friends, family, relatives. Again, you know, if you're collaborating with someone, if you have partners, share it out, because then that way everyone gets that exposure and then those numbers go up. So I did a show a couple of weeks ago, and I look back and it was funny because it was within 24 hours, we got 8,000 people that had viewed the show. And then now we're 8.2. And again, it was only just a couple of weeks ago. So actually, no, it was last week. So yeah, just within a week, it's gone up 2,000 and it was like 8,000 overnight. So, and that was just the Facebook video. So that goes to show, you know, the person that I was doing the show with had a lot of connections. And then you just share it. Keep going, keep going. So that's the best way. Also, come back on the show as well. Do a follow-up and have some fun with it. And then also get, you know, friends of friends to come on and they can say, hey, I was on Carrie's show. That bumps up the views as well, because they go back and they watch your stuff too. It's pretty cool. And it can be very fast, which is one of the best results you can get.
And I think all of this is super important, because we know, I talk to people about like literally doing, like if you're going to invest in your show, invest here, invest there, time and or money. And I am of the thought, not that people can't do shows that don't cost a lot, but if you are on shows that have a marketing budget, then the results are so much higher. You just talked about that. So don't be afraid to invest in your marketing, right? It's no different than anything else, because that also gives the person who's doing the marketing the funds to be able to do exactly what you want and help get you out there. But no matter how much I pay, and there's some places that I pay considerably for marketing, right? One of them is the Emmys. You know, we're going to be at the Emmys. Now, let me tell you, it's a pay to play. But how much exposure am I going to take on myself? Same as with your show, letting everyone in the group know it, letting all the authors know, like, we're going to be on there, we're going to be on there. It's so important, no matter what, that you take, you know that you're going to do a great job. You've hit 8,000, but I think a lot of times people don't pay much attention to pre and post. And if they kind of grab the pre, I'm going to be on. And then somehow there's something about being on, sending it out, and it kind of drops. So I think it's important if people take the marketing that they're doing, the show with you, and bring it into their marketing plan, right? Yeah. There's so many things that they can do. People want to see them now and they want to see them 3 months from now. I mean, using the same interview 3 months from now is absolutely fine. And just putting it in places like their websites, if they have a media page, and if they don't, they should have one.
Yeah.
And even texting, you know, it's really interesting. So as a friend of many, as like you, sometimes I'll see my friends, they'll post. I mean, sometimes, look, we can't expect that people are on social all the time, right? I'm super busy with a project right now. I haven't been on there for a few days, 5 days. And then my friend's like, oh, hey, I was on this. And I'm like, why didn't you tell me? Yeah. Sometimes we're so absorbed with telling the world, we forget to tell our supportive inner circle. And I say, like, just text me. If you want me on somewhere, just text me. Don't assume I'm watching your social. Don't assume I'm on your Facebook. Unless you're sending me out an email, even if you're sending out an email newsletter, which is super important, just send me a personal text, which tells me you want my butt on that show. You want me to listen or dial in, right? I think sometimes we forget about the inner circle we have in our life.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good point. Excuse me. Because I think sometimes, like you said, you know, we assume our friends and family are on social media, they're going to be like, oh, you know, unless they like your post and they see it and you know 100%, they comment, congratulations, you're on a show. Oftentimes, like you said, they could be busy doing their own thing and they miss it. So yeah, by all means, buck your friends. It's great. You know,
well,
be
yeah,
like,
send them a text and let them know. I mean, I think the assuming is a really big piece. And most people don't even understand that you're lucky if 10% of your Facebook friends even see your stuff. Never mind, stop and open it and read it. Like that's, you know, and one person can make a huge difference. Like, you
exactly.
know, tell and the biggest person friend that you know that I'll tell everybody.
Yeah. And I was going to say, don't trust the algorithm because, you know, if you're liking so many pictures of somebody else, like it'll just automatically go to them and you'll miss over. Like I miss probably 1,000 people a day and I don't see their posts at all. And I'm just like, I'm sorry, I didn't see it. So yeah, bug people. It's great.
Bug people.
And they feel special too, I think. Yeah.
What do you think stops people from going onto a radio show, a podcast or TV or, you know, something where they're, what do you think stops people from doing some of this media marketing?
Well, I think first of all, it could be cost. If you actually talk to somebody about the cost, there's probably a certain way to get a discount or, you know, a friend of a friend, referral fees, things like that. Don't be afraid to ask, by all means. Sometimes we understand, you know, the inflation happens, your budget, you know, I like to work with people's budgets. I believe I've been in a tight spot and I understand it's not easy for everyone. So budgeting it out is one thing. Know again, the value of it, you know, what you're getting out there. There's major media outlets that charge $60,000 for a slot. So you want to look for something a little bit cheaper, do that. I also think what stops people is that they don't know enough information, right? They're a little bit ignorant about how to get on board, how to share things out. They may be afraid to even talk in person. So sometimes I would suggest, you know, you can pre-record. Yes, my shows are all live, but I do have the power to also be able to take a pre-recording and put it out there as well on the same slot. So it is possible. I just prefer live, but some people have kind of a stage fright and I get that. But again, ask. Don't be afraid to ask. It's very hard, or ask a friend of a friend to ask for you by all means. Another thing is, yeah, just they don't have the knowledge of what media can do for them until they realize, like, you know, how big it actually can be, where the reach is. They again just think, okay, well, they want to go to a major media outlet because they think that's be all and end all. And yeah, they just don't do the research. So do your research and have fun with it. I think it's just being afraid too. Yeah. What do you think, Deb? Do you think there's another, I don't know.
Oh, I absolutely, I'm on board with you. I think we can talk about that same assumption, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, you just talked about 100,000 and people that are looking at things from a budget standpoint automatically go, I can't afford that. Or yeah. We're like, oh, Carrie's in our book and we've hit, you know, 200 million media impressions and people hear 200 million and they say that's out of budget. Or I'm not ready. If I haven't heard this a million times, I'm like, I need to get ready to be on your show. You're like, you didn't brush your teeth and do your hair today. Like, what do you mean you need to get ready? You know what I mean? And what they're talking about is I need to get my business ready for that kind of influx. And so I think it's really important information to know that by nature, turning on one show doesn't mean you're going to get 100,000 calls. It means you're going to start to pique the interest. It means you're going to start to bridge people. It means that people are going to start to hear about you and see about you. And it's going to save you a lot of time doing, you know, 100,000 Facebook Lives or what have you. Or your Facebook Lives are going to be more intentional, saying that you're going to be on a show. And I don't think people really realize the power of media badges and credentials. And so when you start to talk about being on radio, look, they need to call you. They need to call us and have a conversation and find out all that information and see what that dollar is going to get them, as well as you don't need to do it in a way of, this is something I'm looking at next year, which you can, right? So that you have that understanding and do that yearly budget, but it's never too early, I guess, is my, you know, yearn out there is it's not too early to call, even if it is next year. So that if there is things you need to do to get ready, either there's a program coming or, you know, for people like us, like, I got to get on your show next week. And I'm like, why? They're like, we're launching a book the week after. And I'm like, we book 5 weeks out. So we would have to literally switch a show around. Do you know what I mean? So that kind of information. But the other thing is how easy it is. I don't think people realize how easy, like we're having a conversation right here, right now. You know, you're in your friend's kitchen. I'm in my office, and we're comfortable and we're casual and we're having a conversation. And that I know both you and I do pre-show coaching. So sometimes people are nervous, and what makes them nervous? And we'll give them questions, or they give us the questions to ask that they would know if they were standing there shaking in their boots. Like they know the answer to those questions. So there's all sorts of backstage, you know, I don't want to say tricks and tips, but there's all backstage strategies for making you look like the star, comfortable, knowing. And I think it's really important for people to understand they don't have to be at certain barometers or certain incomes to play. These are really great things to do that are not the big house stuff.
Exactly.
But they can market it that way. Like you take something like, I know what your show costs. It's incredibly reasonable. You take something like your show and you bring it into your social media bandwidth or your Instagram or your, you know, not your Instagram, your emails or whatever you're doing. It just brings the value of it up, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Going back to when you said, you know, preparing for a show as well. It's really custom to my guests. Most of the time though, I'm very much off paper, off script, because that way it does become an authentic type of a conversation. I will, you know, introduce a guest and be like, okay, you know, why they are there for that show, what they want to, you know, tell their audience. But I find having just a comfortable conversation makes everyone they feel a little bit more at home. I've had almost every single guest after just say, you know, thank you. I felt so comfortable talking with you. And it's also just someone that will listen as well. That's kind of what you want to have, is somebody that's comfortable. They're willing to listen. They're willing to give you that time. If you go to, again, the major media outlets, it's very businessy. So they're going to be like, why are you here? They'll give you their questions and it's in and out. You know, not even your 3 to 5 business days, it's 3 to 5 minutes and you're in and out. You know, so you have to be extremely prepared for those times, and it will be completely scripted. So not only that, but, you know, if you're going into a major media outlet with a commercial, it's got to be prepared. It's got to be right then and there. 30-second commercials, again, they're going to cost you a lot of money. So don't be afraid to ask. Like I've got a sponsor who has a commercial, and every so often, you know, if he's like, hey, can you just post that up? You know, because he's a sponsor, he gets special privileges and their sponsor packages. So ask about that as well. They get extra stuff. So if they wanted, you know, their commercial out there a couple times a month, they get it. If they want it every day, they get it. And again, like you're going to be, you know, paying so much more under those major media outlets for sure. But just ask. Asking is wonderful. It opens up so many opportunities, and don't be afraid. Yeah.
I love that. I think we could call this just ask, but it's interesting because people don't know. And we've had people that are like, I will never go on stage. Never, never, never. Do you have sponsorship? Can I still get my name on there? Can I still get mentioned on the summits? They're not going to get on stage no matter what. So that's fine, but they want the results. And I think you just brought up a really good point, is in terms of having your name and being a sponsor. You can sponsor shows, you can sponsor segments, you can sponsor commercials, you can do all sorts of things to have that media exposure. So I know we're going to be wrapping up soon, and I'm loving this conversation because I think what it does is makes media a normal word. Do you know what I mean? It's like, and it has a high level accessibility. And here's the interesting thing. When people do media, you need to market the media. We've just told you to market your media. What about you? Have you ever had an experience where you've had your own, you know, I don't know, something cool that's happened by doing something in media, or you've had a fun experience, or there's a cool story or something that happened for your business or your project or yourself personally? Like, do you have anything fun to share?
Oh, the greatest thing I remember is I haven't been doing it recently, but I was doing a Tuesday show called Culture Connection with another host. He's down in the States, and I'm of course in Canada, so that's why it was a cross reference of cultures, and how they differ and things. So we are doing that every Tuesday nights, and I remember it was, I think, our season three, and we've decided to have on some virtual concerts because we thought, it's fun just to interview, but it's also fun to have people on and perform their music as well. And yes, I do that on Connected with Carrie as well for my shows, so you can do that there. But this stood out because we had two very well-known artists from Canada, specifically in Alberta, come out. And they performed, and it was just so incredible. But our numbers were way over 500,000 that tuned in. And it was just like one of those milestones that stood out. And we don't know during the shows who's tuning in and how many, because that's marked by the radio station. Like, we don't know till after. And then he showed us, the little monitor where they keep track of how many people. And I was just floored. And, but I did see beforehand how they were, sharing it out there and getting people to tune in and get their fans engaged. So it wasn't really us, it was the whole team that had worked together, but it was incredible. And it was like, wow, there's power. There's definitely a lot of power in media for sure. And it was so fun.
Oh my goodness. Well, that makes it fun, right? It makes it fun for you. It makes it fun for everyone who's involved. And everyone likes to have, a great have success. And actually, I think it even drives the mission even more, right? I mean, I know that you're very mission-based. We're very mission-based. And honestly, most media people are. When you're talking, their mission is to support you. They are willing to take a back seat, they're backstage and pushing you out on the stage and being the vehicle that allows you to go there and shine so you can activate what it is that you want and have the, honestly, the ROI. Like, I think the accessibility to media has brought so much money into people's businesses because they have the power for not a large budget, like you said. And we know those 30 seconds. And I've been on radio shows where, it's pretty tight. Like, you're there and you're off and you're this and this is that, and this is how it is. But just the exposure model that it offers and to have an RO, I mean, I would imagine those musicians would have been just super thrilled, right? Super thrilled. Like, what, an hour of their time and some posting, and they had 500,000. Oh my gosh, that's
And
so
it
great.
doesn't, it really doesn't take long to post. Like, you kind of get into a rhythm of it, but really, I mean, just take literally 10 minutes of your day to post all across everywhere. Like I said, stories, and put on your LinkedIn and your Instagram, Facebook, everywhere, and just share it up into little groups and things too. Don't forget groups. I always kind of forget there's little, like, music groups or things like that, because again, they're all over the world too, or maybe it's a Canada-based one. Wherever you are, just share it out, because who knows, they might want to come on too, or they might want to perform with you. Like, there's so many opportunities. It just doesn't like end there. It goes and branches off to collaborations, to being in books, to being in albums, to whatever. Like, it just doesn't stop. It's so amazing what it brings. Yeah, it's a great.
It's a creative pathway for sure. Like, it really is a creative pathway, because by nature, people in media have a they see things in a bigger scope, and it is a very creative experience. I mean, I always say I get to, right? Like, I don't, like, people are like, what do you got to do today? And I'm like, well, I don't got to do anything, but I get to interview super cool people, or I get to,
Right.
And so it's a whole different way of being. Okay, I have one final question. We're gonna wrap it up, but before we do, can you please tell our listeners, and they know what's in the show notes, and cool groovy and all that stuff, and we know now we're gonna be all over your media. We're gonna put our money where our mouth is. We're gonna do the same thing with the show, and we always do. But where can people reach you?
Okay. So Facebook, Underground Radio C, excuse me, and or my personal Facebook is just Carrie Hansen. With my personal one, it's friends of friends. So if you know someone who is a friend of mine, then chances are you'll get added. I don't really take strangers that way. Email me, radioc.contact@gmail.com. Can reach me there. Also, my Instagram is underground_radio_c as well. There, LinkedIn's just Carrie Hansen. I'm on Alignable. It's not one of the major platforms, but again, it's just Carrie Hansen over there. Yeah, hit me up. We'll have conversations, Zooms, whatever it takes to be able to get you on, and we'll have fun.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, we'll have all of that in the show notes. But just for those of you that are listening and want to contact and reach and subscribe and do all that groovy stuff now, last question for you before we end our show today. You are on your way to a desert island and you're packing your suitcase and it's you and you. And you've got room for one album. You're like, I've only got room for one album. And amongst of all that sunscreen, what one album could you not imagine not listening to for the rest of your days?
My goodness.
Album, band, song. It can't be a collection. Can't be a greatest hits.
Okay. I am a huge Chris Brown fan.
All right.
Massive. Huge. It's on repeat all the time. Right now, his 11/11 album is out. He's on tour, everything. And I'm just, like I said, it's on repeat. I do the old schools and everything too. But if I have to name one album, it's the 11/11 Deluxe right now. So,
all right, yeah. Mr. Chris Brown, that is awesome. Well, thank you so much for sharing. And thank you for listeners again. And look at our listeners are super active. We know they're sharing. We know they're talking. We know that they're doing all the things because they are more than likely on some kind of mission themselves. And they so appreciate. If you want to be where Carrie's sitting and you'd like to be on a show, we have solo shows like Carrie is today. We have group shows of different sectors of people like entrepreneurs and people in media and health and wellness and coaches and momagers and dadagers. If you're out there, we want to bring you on the show with your peeps and have that conversation. As well as we have an incredible, we've just opened conversations up for the next 2024 and 2025 speakers. So if you'd like to speak and be on stage, either live or live online, if you want to get that kind of exposure, just reach out to us. And it's super easy. You know where it is. It's deb@devdrummond.com. This is not difficult. Super easy. And until we meet you again, until we see you next week, as always, be well and stay groovy. Thanks so much.
Bye.